set. God damn. Who packed this can? Incredible Hulk?
Seems you're drinking a Modelo, I can tell.
I'm drinking a Modelo. The can is hard to open. Oh, no. See? We just stumble into content.
The fact that you didn't even notice.
No, because this is how we are at the end of the season. At least it's coming in hot. Welcome
honestly,
in. No punts allowed.
Yeah, no welcome in. This is honestly like a witching hour of the college football season. Like you're a little sleep deprived. There's a lot going on, especially with the new dynamics of everything. I like don't know what day it is because it's also kind of like the holidays. And then like it's so bizarre. We're used to having like a little bit of a break and then it goes into like, okay, we have, you know, bowl games, but then we have college football playoff. And now it's like, by the way, we have college football playoff games this week.
We got bowl games tonight. We were recording this on a, what is it? It's a Wednesday.
See, exactly so my game. Point. You just proved my point.
Yeah, no, I'm like,
we don't know what day it is.
Yeah, I was out last night doing Christmas things with the fam. And I got home and like, I forgot a bowl game was breaking out in Memphis and West Virginia. And I was like, what? Like, I am not mentally prepared for this. And actually, even tonight, looking at this, I'm like, oh, my God. So we will do locks. First, let's talk municipal. I got a lot of compliments on my shirt today, Paige. Now, one of the feedback I am getting, like, you know, maybe that polo is not exactly holidays. It's more fall.
Yeah,
kind of why
fair.
I wore it. I wear off-season colors largely to piss off my wife, but I do love this shirt. This is my personality. Chaotic, bright. A little all over the place, maybe a little unstable. So I do want to say
my friend was in Vegas this weekend with her husband for the Monday night game, and she was walking through, I don't know which hotel, but there is a municipal store in Las Vegas or a place that sells municipal gear, because she sent me a picture and said, I keep seeing municipal and every time I see it I think of you. So
I get a lot of that too.
I love that. I love that you guys think of Municipal and us together collectively. Do some last minute Christmas shopping on there. Don't forget that Christmas is so close. It's actually a week away.
Week away.
1 week away.
Shit is getting real. Municipal.com. Go. You can still do this. There's still time. Part of my problem with Christmas shopping as a whole is I'm just assuming everything's going to be here next day, and it's not.
No, and there's always delays, and don't let them fool you into thinking that it's going to be on time. We will talk about Christmas shopping on random shit, because I do have some questions for you about what kind of shopper you are and what kind of gift giver you are.
Great. I have answers, actually. I'm specific on that topic. Let's speaking of gift givers, Alabama. Poor Alabama. Oh, man, Paige, poor Alabama. They are stealing Alabama's players. Poor Greg Byrne, this broke school. Schools are coming in and paying their football players millions of dollars to leave. It's heartbreaking what is going on at Alabama right now, where they will be lucky to field a football team. If you, Alabama fan, don't contribute money
if you don't
to the
quote,
NIL
fight
collector.
Back.
Fight back. This will not stand, goddammit. What a load of shit.
Go ahead. I'm going to let you have the floor for this.
Okay. I am Team Bama. You are more Team Bama.
I mean, I have Nick Saban literally sitting on a candle behind me.
We are largely Team Bama. We like this school. I've spent a lot of time there. We have friends and relationships here. Some of my fondest memories in the sport have to do with Alabama. What are they doing? What are they doing? Everybody's broke. Everybody has to pay players. Alabama has been stealing players both legally and illegally for years with Dodge fucking Chargers and cash and all the other
Chargers?
Things, okay? Whatever the cars. Was it Chargers? What was the car that every Alabama player was driving?
I think it was a Charger. Hey, as long as it's not a Georgia player, I don't care.
What cracks me up about this is now you could bitch out in the open when this happens. Like
yeah,
before,
right?
You just go in a room and be like, this guy, did you see what they gave him?
And you can't report anything.
No,
you can't,
it's like,
you know that you're involved
it's all
in it.
Back alleys. And it's now though, you could bitch out in the open and ask for money. I think it's kind of insulting.
Yeah.
I understand it. I get it. If you're Greg Byrne, you're not wanting to send this. Clearly, coaches came into your office. You're forced to send this plea for financial help.
Right.
But it's not a great look, in my opinion, that Alabama is saying, like, we need your money.
I was telling you this, though. Like, this will work. Like, they will actually get donations from people in the state of Alabama when he's like, you need to fight back. Like, that is an easy, like, sell. Like, we talked about, like, the influence of Nick Saban in the state of Alabama, whether it's inside or outside of football. Like, in the influence of Alabama football itself as the brand. Like, if Greg Byrne is saying anybody, which, by the way, love Greg Byrne, former Arizona athletic director when I was at school there. Met him at the Final Four this year. Very nice man. I understand it because, again, like, that's going to work. That tactic is going to work. I will say this is a perfect segue into the absolute chaos that is college football free agency. Okay. Sucks. This whole transfer portal situation, we talked about last year that, hey, maybe this wouldn't be that big of a deal when there was an expanded playoff because some of the best players would still be playing in the playoff. Perfect example is Bo Pribula, who was Penn State's backup quarterback, who literally had no choice because, again, if you want to get paid and you want to go to a school that you want your options with schools, you need to do it now because they're not going to wait until you're done playing in the college football playoff. So he had to decide to enter his name. He certainly could have waited for the second window, but he basically, behind the scenes with how everything's going, he did not have a choice. He needed to put his name in. He will not be their backup quarterback. That's one, so unfair to him, like so unfair. And I'm sure there are plenty of other players that will be in this, you know, circumstance moving forward the next couple of years, and it's just going to continue to expand. But the way that college football has fumbled the bag so hard on getting this all right and understanding the timing of all of this,
yes,
is so ugly and so frustrating. And like before, like you were saying, like, this kind of stuff could have played out behind the scenes, but now because it's all changed and it's also open, like, this is ridiculous. Like, I feel so bad for these kids having to make these decisions, and I don't fault any of them for doing it because you have no choice. The system is working against them currently, and it's really messed up. But I also would be so pissed if I'm, you know, Penn State or a playoff team that's losing guys, because that's just not, it's just not fair to, the season hasn't ended yet. You should play out the whole season. And I think, honestly, they should move transfer portal stuff into January and say, sorry, we're not going to do it in December. I don't care if you want to put your name in before. People will certainly go about it and talk to people behind the scenes, for sure. That'll happen. But don't make it, you are not allowed to put your name in the transfer portal until January. And I know people will be like, what about early enrolls, all that? Don't care. Like, you need to find a better way. Until you find a better way, change it so that this protects the players that are playing for championships and just overall players in general, because this is stupid. Also, it would help coaches a ton in terms of roster management.
By the way, remind me after this, we have more breaking news to talk about on this podcast. For the second week in a row.
The Bill Belichick thing was so spot on. Also, it was great. I mentioned too about Rich Rod. I was like, oh, they had said it was going to someone else, who, by the way, it was an On3 report that someone else was getting the West Virginia job. Turns out it is Rich Rodriguez, and he is going back. So we are in our revival era of college football. If we mention it on this podcast, it's happening.
Kramer and I are
both winning the lottery. I hope you guys know.
I'm going to put this in our doc. Breaking news. Okay.
Breaking news, because we will forget.
Now let's talk about this. So Bo Pribula.
Remember our good friend our producer for our college football show was Penn State alumni and was giving us the inside scoop on how to say it.
So an interesting week for Penn State because Drew Aller is coming back.
Yes. Which is also related to that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, this was a business transaction going on in the Penn State side. And so if you're Bo, you got to go.
Yeah.
By the way, Bo is visiting Iowa City.
Wow.
Iowa, ask for my money. Not that broke bitch team, Alabama. Iowa, get come here. Let's go. Let's get us some Bo. Right? Bo.
Bo. Bo. Have you ever seen the Dukes of Hazzard with Johnny Knoxville?
Yes, of course.
You know where he's like, I thought you said go, Bo, go. He said, I said, no, Bo, no.
No, that, no, go, Bo, go.
I love
go.
That part so much.
So the calendar's a disaster, though. Like, this Bo thing is like really this, interesting.
We joked about it, but it's so bad.
Well, and it was really interesting hearing, like, Penn State trying to figure out ways to make this work, and they couldn't. And I'd love to have been a fly on the wall in those conversations. But the calendar's a disaster. The bowl season is a disaster. I've said it before. I'll say it again. It's really hard. I don't bet on any bowl games until about 5 minutes beforehand because the portal is popping and the lines are moving a lot. It makes it really, really difficult. Now, all that being said, I'm going to inject a little positivity because I feel like I've been
we like that
negative voice. Opt-outs in bowl games, like, yes, we have some. We've got some opt-outs. We also have some opt-ins. Like, we have some opt-ins like a Drew Aller who's going to play, and I know he's in the playoff, but Colorado's guys and Alabama's guys, and it feels like playing in your bowl game is kind of cool again. And I do love that, yes, there is some money involved too, but fine.
You're making money.
Pay them money to stay, and I love that part of it. So, but all of it makes for a very chaotic stew, and this could be so fixed. Just switch the dates around. Like, you can't have this uncertainty blanket the postseason. It's taking from the sport. It really is. Yeah. There's not a ton of juice for this first round of the playoff. Like, I got to be quite honest with you. Like, people are off on timing, and I'm not blaming the transfer portal and all these things exclusively for it. There's a lot of distractions right now, both in life and in this sport. And we've got like four really interesting games. And I think they all could be very interesting. We'll talk about
them. I think they're going to be way closer than those lines have been.
I agree with you. I was struggling with that today, too. Now, would you like the breaking news? Now,
yes.
I'm going to mess up his name. Okay. Diego. Who's it? Pavia? How do you pronounce the Vanderbilt quarterback?
Oh, the Pavia? I thought it was Pavia.
Pavia. Granted, at least right now, another year of eligibility.
Oh, we
love
that. You talk
about getting paid. I mean, that dude is awesome.
Andy.
So this could go through courts and all those other things. But they're saying that he played in junior college and those should not have counted towards his eligibility. So this young man, who is one of the more interesting and exciting players we have in college football, is probably going to get another year, could be challenged, blah, blah, blah. But I'm really interested to see what happens now. Does he stay? Does it go? People could use a QB like this. The QB market is it is popping right now.
The QB market is wild out in these streets. The Cal quarterback, Mendoza.
Yes.
It's hard for me to say his last name because my new last name is going to be Mendoza, and I'm just so used to saying it that way. And people messing it up as Mendoza. See, I can't even do it. Mendoza.
Oh, yeah. Mendoza, yes.
Is visiting, like, Indiana. Who else? Georgia. There were like rumors of all this. I'm like, this is wild out in these streets. Let's talk about Michael Vick getting a college football coaching job at Norfolk State. We were rumored that it was going to be San Jose State. Has never coached in any capacity at any level. Your
Correct.
Thoughts?
I think that Deion Sanders and others. You look at like an Eddie George. If you have a good system around you, you know ball, and Mike Vick is a ball knower, you can do this.
Yeah,
and so it doesn't mean it will work. I will say this, and I like my mom does dog rescue. Okay, this will take us down a very serious path for a moment.
Yes,
my mom does pit bull rescue. So there is no person more on earth that she still despises than Michael
Vick. That's fair.
Now, that
Julie,
being said,
you're allowed to.
Horrific. Yeah, no, totally. The career resurrection that he has been able to do, despite some really horrible things, which I think he's owned up to, and like you never get over that stuff, but you got to let a person at least live and judge them by what they've done, and you're entitled to your own opinion. It is pretty amazing that we're talking about this, and for the most part, those things are largely gone. I'm sure they will come up again because anything he's done, he's been on shows and everything. There was no more exciting player outside of maybe Reggie Bush in our lifetime than this. And so I'm really interested to see, A, does it work, back to your original question, and B, is this the formula? Like, Mike Vick is just the latest. Who next to say that they're doing it? And we have Deion to thank for this, right? Like,
yeah,
he's showing what you can do, albeit with two top five picks. That helps a little bit, but that's pretty amazing.
It's basically, I mean, between this and then Bill Belichick, I think we are getting the sense that, like, the professionalizing of college football is going to lead to a new formula. We were so used to seeing the same, and I will say, like, we complained a lot about seeing the same recycled coaches go to different programs and the same list of people being, you know, when a big job would open, it would be the same, like, four or five guys we knew who was going where and, you know, where they wanted to go. It was all very, like, brotherhoody, and just there was a lot of information that we already sort of knew. I'm not opposed to having new people come in, try different things. However, I do worry a little bit about the extreme of, like, not having coached the level of, like, college football, the level that college football requires a coach and what that coach has to do. That part is a little concerning to me, that maybe some of these programs and these kids who play in these programs could be in a situation. I'm not saying specifically with Michael Vick. It could be with Bill Belichick. It could be, with Deion, we saw, like, yes, okay, sure, they've done better this year than we thought they could, but we saw the very negative repercussions of what his style of coming in and doing stuff was, where that wasn't happening at other schools and other programs. It was very, like, they respected the kids and were very much like, okay, we'll sit them down and have conversations. They didn't go into a locker room with the camera crew and say, pack your shit and get out, you know? And, like, so there is going to be a level of professionalism, maybe, and I don't want to say coddling because that's not the right word, but we're going to see that go out the window a little bit with some of these programs as people come in who are going to do it as, like, the pros do it, and you're going to be treated like a pro. And hey, maybe that works out and it's a benefit to college football and college football players, but it is concerning that we are just, like, you can know ball as much as you want, but, like,
that's it's not gonna always work.
It's almost not all of your job is to know ball. It's also to understand, like, this system and how it works. And with it changing so much, it does make me a little nervous about what we're kind of starting in terms of bringing in college football coaches that maybe have never coached it at the college level or any level before. So it is interesting to kind of see this shift in it, because we were so used to the same recycled group getting these jobs. So very interesting.
Two more things, and then we should talk games, because I'm excited to talk about these playoff games. Heisman. It happened days ago. Travis Hunter won. I actually loved – I thought his speech was awesome. No notes, just raw and fun.
We love good emotions.
Uplifting, and I really liked it. It was really – and I also – I'm a sucker for that 50-minute advertisement for college football. I don't know what it is. I said this on Twitter. X, I'll still call it Twitter. Like, there's something about it for me. It's like a catalog in the season that it allows me to relive many of these moments. So I thought the whole presentation was great. I was surprised by the voting.
So was
a
I.
little bit.
And, yeah. And
yeah. So Colorado, Travis Hunter, 2,331 points. Ashton Gentry, 2,017 points. It's like the closest result since 2009. So the gap, that was the biggest thing for you? Like, that was the one for you? You were surprised by that as well?
Yes. I did really love his speech as well.
Oh, it was great. Yeah. That's close. 552 first place votes to 309. If I had a vote, I think I would have voted for Ashton Gentry, to be quite honest. And I say that with, like, the utmost respect.
Respect for Travis Hunter, yeah.
I've never seen anything like Travis Hunter, but I don't know. I you know, Gentry, Boise in the playoff, like, all the ingredients were there. I thought that was pretty cool. And then what, you had Dylan Gabriel, Cam Ward. I would have switched those two. I thought Cam Ward was exceptional. I picked Gabriel to win the Heisman before the season began. And then have a little Cam Scanaboo. Wild. Arizona State player finishing in the top five of the Heisman. Just, I won't lean into that too long.
No, I am.
Stand on the
I'm
matter.
Still just not in. I still just don't acknowledge that they're even
not real.
In the college football playoffs.
Denied,
it kind of
denied,
just blows
denied.
My mind a little bit.
And then finally, let's talk about a team that is, like, nowhere close to the playoff, and that is USC. Zach and Zion Branch are in the transfer portal. They are a package deal. It sounds like the two USC wide receivers, Zach Branch, since he arrived last year, has been one of the most exciting players with the ball in his hands. This will be a get, Iowa, after you're done getting Bo, just saying. Go ahead. Probably this one out of your league a little bit. So, okay, where are we on the panic level of USC and Lincoln Riley? Because this ain't good.
It's not, but I feel like this season, the offseason is just getting started. Like, there's chaos right now, but I feel like somehow USC always finds a way to, well, I should say Lincoln Riley, always finds a way to work the portal in his favor. He'll find somebody. I know he will. They have the money. They'll find the bidder. But panic level, definitely higher than it ever has been, at whether it be at Oklahoma or at USC. I think this is by far the biggest panic level of Lincoln Riley's career.
So this is from ESPN. USC has had 14 scholarship players enter the transfer portal at the conclusion of its 6-6 regular season. Now must replace another top receiver after losing Deuce Robinson and Kyron Hudson earlier this month. If you're losing offensive guys and you're Lincoln Riley,
yeah,
like, that's not good. Not good. Like, this is, yes, they still have players.
Oh, he'll be squarely on the hot seat as the season starts.
It's, like, it will. Buddy, this is not, I think we know how this ends. I'll take it a step further. I think, and I hope that's not the case. I think he's interesting. I think I'm shocked it hasn't gone better.
Yeah.
And then it has, quite honestly. But I think we know where this is going. It's just a matter of how long. So we'll see if that's the case. All right. Suck playoffs.
I do want to say one thing. I did see Cliff Kingsbury made a comment about Bill Belichick and saying, I'll believe it when I see him coach a game, which is, like, hilarious. Because if you remember, Cliff Kingsbury was supposed to be the OC or the head coach at USC. Or was it the offensive coordinator? I can't remember. Which one was he supposed to be? It was head coach.
He was head coach. He was supposed to be many things, but OC, I think, was the one he was supposed to be.
Was supposed to be and then dipped.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was so funny. So I was like, of all people to say that, that's hilarious to me. And he's like, well, we'll see if he actually coaches. But, I mean, he did the whole press conference, and they gave him the cutoff hoodie and everything. So Bill Belichick is college football coach, which is...
For now.
Just wild.
I don't necessarily disagree with Cliff, by the way.
You think that maybe he'll dip? Can you imagine?
Like, he's going to coach spring practice and just be like, fuck this. Like,
yeah. Also, one last shout out. No one is having a better month than Dabo Swinney is, because he did, in fact, get his first ever transfer portal player. So congratulations on winning. And I think it was like an FU to everybody else because he made the playoff without using the portal. And now he's like, all right, I made my point. I could just go in the portal now. So congrats to him on landing a portal guy and accepting a portal guy onto their roster.
Which is a perfect segue to
the college football playoff.
The first ever breakdown of home playoff games. Now, I guess this is our locks.
Yes.
There's some bowl games too, but we could focus on the playoff. So we want to start, I guess, with Indiana at Notre Dame. The number here is 7.5. The total in this game is 52.5. It's going to be cold as shit. It's going to be cold. Both these teams are probably used to cold. Where do you want to start here?
I am going to take Indiana to cover. I think Notre Dame ultimately wins, but I think it's a close game.
I agree with you. It's really interesting. Both these quarterbacks are kind of scrappy and can move around a little bit. Both the defenses can get after you. I think Indiana's defense impressed me a lot. Like, I don't know, Indiana's story lost in that. Is their defensive front is really good. In fact, they have, like, one of the top-ranked defenses. All metrics across the board are solid. It's a pretty high total to me. It's kind of interesting, especially it's going to be cold as hell. But both quarterbacks are capable of making plays. And Notre Dame was really good down the stretch. I like Indiana. I worry that I'm falling into a trap. And the other thing I wrote in locks is that we're to this point in the year, it's holiday season, and I'm still not quite sure about either of these two teams.
Yeah.
Like, because their schedules, and I'm not trying to be a dick, because the schedules were very favorable, like,
I don't know how to
evaluate. I don't know how to evaluate.
Literally,
honestly,
if either one of them blew out the other, I like wouldn't be shocked. If it's a close game, wouldn't be shocked. Like, I don't, this game is not going to be, the outcome will not be surprising to me.
Agreed. No, I get it. Like, it's, I'm having an evaluation, some evaluation issues here. So this is the Friday night game, kind of the main course. Friday is such a fun day. You have Ohio Jacksonville State at 11 a.m. Love it. Tulane, Florida, which is still moderately interesting. And then Indiana, Notre Dame in a playoff game. What a time to be alive. All right, let's talk SMU Penn State, which a member of this podcast.
I know.
Will be attending.
Be there. I will be there. I will be doing the BR pregame show. It's like the pregame show. There will be a show on TNT because this is a TNT and Max game, but I will be doing that, and it will be on BR's YouTube and in the app. But yeah, it is going to be cold. So speaking of cold climates that you know, I particularly am not used to at all, should be interesting. I have myself a nice parka and a heated vest, so I should be okay. But like the drama of it all is going to be funny, especially because my job is to be outside the stadium before the game starts. So I'm not going to be protected by any sort of, not that the stadium is like enclosed and very cozy, but going to be very cold there.
Just some quick advice, because someone who lives with this shit year round.
Yes.
Ants are the sneaky forgotten element of this. I did a middle of Wisconsin tractor ride last night, and I prepared, I thought accordingly, gloves, hat, coat, ants. Sat on that goddamn bench. My ass was frozen, like immediately, like mistakes were made. Just don't, socks and pants, like socks,
I have
crucial.
Wool socks, and I have base layer for underneath my jeans.
Okay, good.
So,
good.
So I'm like, because also like I hate being cold more than anything. So I will look like a complete idiot and have 8,000 layers on before I will let myself be cold. So I do not care. I'm not one of those people that, like, tries to tough it out. I did. So originally the weather was supposed to be in like the 30s. So I was like, okay, and it wasn't going to snow. So I was like, all right, I can do a wool jacket and I'll be fine. Have like obviously some layers underneath. It went down to like in the 20s and it's going to be like some snow the day before. I was like, absolutely not. Parka it is. Puffer jacket, down jacket. We are making sure we are warm for these segments. I will be outside for at least 2 hours. So like I'm going to be making sure that I am covered on that front. And it will be early morning because the game kicks off at noon local time. So it is an early game.
It'll be cold. Like it's not just like fun Midwest cold. Like it'll be cold.
Oh, and know me. You saw me in like Indianapolis when it was cold and I was like, and that wasn't even that cold. And I was like, I can't do this. This is freezing. It's the wind that gets you. It's just the face. I can't.
It sucks.
But anywho, yes, I will be there. Very excited to be doing that pregame show. But in terms of the game, I think if I had to pick a game that I think will be actually closer to the spread and accuracy of the spread, I would take this Penn State SMU game.
So you like Penn State?
Penn State, yes.
Buddy, we're
cooking.
We're high-flying synergy here. Wow. I think Penn State's going to roll.
Yeah.
Now, all right. Couple of things. SMU has a quarterback and they've got some dudes at wideout, and my lasting memory of that Big Ten championship was just Oregon wide receivers running freely and getting open, and Penn State, they, you know, did a lot of really good things except stop the ball. I think that this formula though, like bully ball, is like, if I'm Penn State, this is tight end and my two running backs. And Drew Aller will work on your draft push for next year. This is cold, team from Texas, make it miserable, make them quit, and we'll see. And are you concerned at all with the narrative, the James Franklin narrative? Because I got to say, it is lingering in the back of my head now. I've tried to fight it, like, oh, we'll do it anyways. Like, it'll be fine. I'm a little worried about that.
You're worried about what?
James Franklin sucking when he
every time
he needs a win.
Every time he needs a win. I'm not worried about it in this specific game. I'm certainly worried about it after this game, but I think they're gonna be fine. I will say, like, yes, Oregon scored a billion points, but it's not like they, and honestly, watching it, I feel like Oregon obviously dominated, but again, like, they kind of didn't. Like, I don't know. I just, there's sort of a vibe that I get that, like, Penn State is going to be able to turn it on because they're obviously going to want to win at home. They're going to be used to playing there. I think there's a lot of advantages that Penn State's just, that's going to help them over the hump. I don't think it's going to be anything of one. I certainly think that SMU didn't have the toughest schedule. So no. I'm curious, like, to your point, like, they did not play bully ball and they were not, they didn't play in the Big Ten. So, like,
no, they're going to get punched in the face.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's going to be a little bit of a rough go about.
All right, so we are 2 for 2. You're in alignment on 2 games.
Okay.
We have not had that a lot lately. Let's not blow it.
No.
Clemson versus Texas. Clemson is a 12 up to 12 point dog. So money coming in at on Texas. And the total in this one is 52. What say you?
Part of me hates doing this, but I feel like Texas, every time I've gone against the fact that I feel like they're going to smack somebody in the mouth, they don't. So I'm going to go with Clemson to cover, Texas to win.
We are 3 for 3.
Wow. The vibes are good.
I am a little worried about taking the cheese here. I'm a mouse.
Yep.
I see a cheese, piece of cheese on the floor. We're like, oh, Dabo has nothing to lose. Oh, Kate Klubnik is good. They have a top 15 offense. Oh, this is great. And then, but Texas has scored 31 points once in the last 7 games.
Yeah. No, I.
Something is not.
Not right. It's just not meshing the way that it should. And, like, of all the teams, like, I think in the playoff, I would be most concerned about Texas. That sounds weird because, like, you're like, hello, Ohio State. No. Like, Texas, to me, like, should be way better and way more dominant than they are on paper.
Clemson defensively can hang in this game. Clemson offensively should hang in this game. I'm wondering how much arch we're going to see. I think
if we
a lot.
Don't see arch, that's going to be the entire narrative. I'm just letting everyone know.
Well, I think we should see a lot.
We should. I thought they should have played him in the championship game. I think that was ridiculous. That's the part that I'm concerned about, is the last time we saw them play, that to me was like, it was a poor coaching job. And that you can't, you're not going to change in a playoff game.
If we're going to shit on Notre Dame and Indiana for not playing everybody, Texas, beat Texas A&M at Texas A&M 17-7. It's a good win. Good win. That's a really good win. You beat Arkansas 20-10. You beat Kentucky 31-14. Crushed Florida, great. You barely got by Vandy. You lost to Georgia twice.
You needed one of those Georgia wins to give you the confidence there.
Could they turn it on, by the way? Yeah. Texas
they
is
could,
capable
but...
of turning it on. The potential of me eating shit on this is
us. Yeah, no, totally. They could come out and absolutely obliterate Clemson, and we're going to be like, damn it.
But
we
I
should
think
have known
Clemson
better.
Can ball a little bit. I do. Like,
yeah. And also, I will say, no offense to Sark. I think he's a great coach. But Dabo's been in the playoff. Dabo's won the playoff.
Oh,
like,
and he does not give a fuck. Like, and I mean that as a compliment. Like, there's something to be said about just being able to coach and be free and not have to worry about that.
Yes. Like, Dabo, if he loses, he's not losing his job. He's not worried about that. It's going to be, there's a lot less pressure on him, and I think he's been in those moments quite a bit.
Yes. All right.
So I think that might favor them. If I had to pick an upset for the first round of the playoffs, that's the one that I would choose.
Oh, I love that. I love it. I don't disagree either. All right. I'm going to be honest. I don't have a side in this game, but I'll pick a winner because I'm not going to not pick a winner.
Pick a winner.
But we have Ohio State -7.5, and the total in this is 46. So versus Tennessee.
Is the total low because of the weather?
The total is low Well, I'll go first. I put you on the spot. I'm happy to go first. I like the under. I the total is low because of the weather. It's a night game. It's going to be cold.
Yeah.
These are two top five defenses. And all right, I have bias in this game. We picked Ohio State to win the Natty. I don't like being wrong. Ohio State, I if I were picking a side, I would still bet Ohio State. But I'm going to pick Ohio State until I'm out of money, laying in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Just in a heap of my own demise, okay? But Tennessee's defense is good. Ohio State's defense is the best in the country. It's going to be cold. I could see both coaches being conservative here because I think the other, you know, what is Ohio State going to do offensively? Why didn't they throw the ball to their playmakers against Michigan? I have so many questions about this game. I don't know how you feel. I'm struggling with it.
Yeah, I'm certainly not going to pick against Ohio State. So I know yes. People will be like, you guys, did you watch the games? It's just I'm going to take Ohio State and I would take them to cover.
I got to be honest. I still think Tennessee kind of sucks. I'm going to say it.
I do too.
I'm going to say it.
We spend way too much time together that maybe our brains are like morphing into one when we, it's because we talk during these games too. And we're just like, what do you think about this? Do you think that? I just don't have any faith in the fact that they can go into Ohio State and win. If this was a home game, I actually probably would feel a little different, but no.
Here's what Tennessee has done. They beat Oklahoma 25-15. Oklahoma sucks, except against Alabama. They lost to Arkansas 19-14. They beat Florida 23-17. They beat Alabama 24-17, although that game was gross. They beat Kentucky by 10. Mississippi State by less than 20. Got walloped by Georgia. They played well in the first half and then not so good. Crushed UTEP and then had to come from behind in an actually impressive fashion to beat Vandy. So I don't buy it. I think Nico is going to be good. I don't necessarily think he's good right now. This team also on the road, not great. Lost to Arkansas, lost to Georgia. Granted, Georgia's a tough place to play.
Yeah.
I kind of think this team is fool's gold, but I do like the defense. And I say this, like, what the fuck happened to Ohio State? What the fuck? That's where I can't be confident on the other side.
The key to this game is going to be if Ohio State beats themselves. Like, it's not going to be Tennessee that beats them. It's going to be Ohio State that shoots themselves in the foot.
And that's where the under, because you're right, the total is low. 46.5.
If the run game is something that they're going to have to depend on, Tennessee does, dependent on their run game quite a bit, which is, we talked about it. It was weird being in a hypo offense that was like the focus. But Nico, he's proven that he can throw in certain settings, but I'm curious how aggressive these coaches will get. That's the thing, is like if you're Ryan Day, you have got to be the most aggressive dude ever. And I just hope that he turns that on because he has no choice.
They have laid it on pretty thick that he's coming back.
I mean, I never believe any of that.
No, but I think he's coming back.
I mean, he should. He's still a good football coach. It just blows my mind.
It's like this toxic relationship.
Look at what happened with Michigan. Look at what happened with Michigan before they won a national championship with Jim Harbaugh. We were having the same conversation. There was that exact same.
I get it, but do this conversation at the casino all the time. The fifth ATM trip will be the one. And sometimes it is.
You know what?
And sometimes I have to explain myself. It's like, honey, I was due. And Ryan Day is a good football guy. I feel bad for Ryan Day.
I'm totally turned on Ryan Day. I feel so bad.
I've done a heel turn on this. This got to be so hard. I was reading something like, oh, man, Ohio State probably wishes this game was on the road. It's like, what? No. I know the Michigan game sucked, but this is one of the greatest home environments in sports. Forget about college football. They will love Ryan Day on Saturday. Okay? They will. Everyone's going to put their guns on the table, their knives on the table, and we're going to say, hey, Ryan Day, we fucking love you, dude. Let's go win a natty. Right?
Yeah.
And then if he loses, run, Ryan. Run. Don't look back. Don't ask questions. Go take some analyst job in the NFL for a little while. And then co-coach, I don't know, like some small school. You'll get paid money and you'll be happy. You don't need more money. I'm sure he's made a fortune already. Like, you don't need this shit, Ryan Day. Love you,
honestly,
buddy.
go to therapy every week. Like, just take some time off, you know, relax.
Yeah, go do your thing.
I am super excited about these games. I know, like you were saying, there's like a lot of chaos and all of that, and like, you know, there's not that much like excitement around it. I am so excited for this expanded format and just like what comes next, because I really like this time of year. We kind of like have an idea of who will probably make the national championship. Like, we are going to be in Atlanta for the title game, and I just like don't know who's going to be there, and I just it could be literally anyone.
That, you know what, it's so true. That part is very, very valid. I look at this bracket and I don't have a good feel for it. And I love that we're going to get multiple rounds. It's a really weird, we talk about the calendar, but like our own calendar of like when we have to do shit is bizarre. And then in between, wedged in between, by the way, there's a really compelling bowl slate that's going to get better and better. By the way, we have games going on right now.
Oh, I love college football. Maybe I'll make some like soup and watch.
Oh, man. James Madison. Doing blossoming into random shit.
Yes.
Some of my favorite memories is when holidays and college football blend together.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I'm going to try and do this week, not sure when, not Saturday, probably Sunday, get the Baileys out, lock myself in a room. Oh, there's no college football on Sunday, though, because it's stupid fucking NFL. All right, fine. Friday. I'm not working on Friday, right? It's 11 a.m. Don't judge. Ohio,
don't judge.
Jacksonville State.
Okay.
I'm going to lock myself in a room. Sounds like it's going down the opposite path.
Yeah, this sounds like dangerous, a slippery slope.
I'm
going to
pour some Baileys, and I'm going to wrap some presents. That's what I'm going to do.
All right.
I love bowl games and holidays and all those things. The vibes around this time of year are spectacular.
I do.
Immaculate holiday vibes.
I love this for you. I also love to, I'm surprised you're not betting a little college basketball in there too.
Oh, but I have been betting the shit out of it. This is one of my random things.
I know. You do really love a holiday college basketball betting. I will say I am very excited for the holidays. I went to Williams-Sonoma yesterday and got the hot chocolate and the peppermint bark. Like, you can get hot chocolate and peppermint bark at a lot of places, but like the Williams-Sonoma ones are superior to all else. Like, I will die on that hill. Like, I'm sorry, the quality and just the goodness of it. Like, I will spend the money to get those specific things for the holiday season. So I'm very excited about that I have it. Also, I'm kind of excited to go to a place that's going to be cold and snowy for like the holiday season. Because it's definitely cold here, but not nearly as cold as it's going to be in at Penn State. So yeah, that'll be cool. But in terms of gifts,
yes.
Do you consider yourself a good gift giver? Or are you like, hey, give me a list and I'll buy exactly what's on your list?
No, I used to be better. So my wife and I are not huge like it, and I actually like this.
Mm-hmm.
I know friends who've been married a long time, and there's like immense pressure on them to deliver like great gifts.
Okay.
We've never been that way. In fact, I'm terrible at like, oh, I want, I don't really want anything. If I want something and it's really not, I'll normally buy it, right? But
yep.
She has a good So what I like to do is buy experiences. We're going to go here. We're going to go, here's a favorite restaurant. And I'm going to coordinate a babysitter. As you get older, like
yes.
You're old like me, time is truly the most valuable commodity that we have. Because life is a fucking chaotic joke. So now it's like, if we could set that up or buy her, you know, salon. With the kids, though, Paige, and you will love this. It is, you're going for that pal. You're going for that moment. And
yes,
my wife's former teacher. I don't know which one. Awkward. She's not teaching right now. But she is a teacher mind. So she wants... This is a gift that will better my child in some way. And I'm
yes.
like,
this
gift
to
is
going to
have fucking 5 minutes of excitement and they will worship me for it. And that's
yep.
what I want. So we have very different opinions on that. And I love that, which is good. You don't want all 5 minute things. You do need some substance there. So I don't know. How are you on this? I could see you though. You care about you're very mindful of people's emotions. You want to make people happy.
Yes.
I'm assuming that like
translates
into gift giving.
Yeah, I'm probably the best gift giver I know. I'm not going to lie to you. I am. There you go. You could. I don't even need a list. I could get something for people. I'm very, very good at it. And I pride myself on the fact that I am so good at it. I will say, as I've gotten older, like, I think sharing the things that, like, you want for Christmas is great. But I can't spoil one gift this year that I'm really excited about that I've got for my fiance. I will share once, obviously, Christmas is over and he's received it. That was not on his list of things. I did check with my sister and brother-in-law about the gifts that I got their children that weren't on their list. One, I got my niece a karaoke machine, a Bluetooth karaoke machine. She loves to, like, perform, and has two microphones.
Oh, God.
And she could take it anywhere. She's a big Swiftie. So I got her that. That was my idea to get it, and I think I nailed it. And then my nephew, one of his favorite things to do is to sit on people's phones and, like, look at pictures of all of us, especially of himself as well. So I got him this, like, kid camera that he can take pictures and look at the pictures, so he doesn't have to take anyone's phone. He can just look at his own pictures. And, like, that's those nice. Are the type of things that I, like, love doing, because also with kids, like, I know that I am also I'm on the line of, like, okay, I'll get them something that's, like, developmental, but I'm like, they're also gonna get a really fun gift. But in terms of, like, if I had to go shopping for, like, you, it would be the easiest thing ever. Like, I if I know somebody well enough, or even if you said to me, hey, these are Caitlin's three top interests, I'd be like, all right, these are your options. Here are your price ranges. So if anyone needs a shopper or needs help shopping for gifts, slide in my DMs. I'll answer those. Because it's all day. That's my favorite thing to do, is pick out gifts for people, because I know people pretty well.
This does not surprise me.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. And, well, it's funny. My parents were in town this week, right? They come in. They don't want anything. So what I do is I buy a couple of really nice bottles, like a bottle of wine that I'm not buying on a regular basis. And it always is received well, because we love trying new wines that are not normal purchases. Like, this is not a bottle of wine we're drinking on a Tuesday. And it's fun. It's it's an experience. Right? Like, that is...
I do like the experience thing. And Nick and I talked a lot about that. Like, do we want to, like, get each other an experience or things like that? I will say I am marrying into, basically Nick and his brother had come up with, like, we're not going to get each other gifts. We're not a gift people. That hurts my soul a little bit. So, like, even for birthdays and stuff, I've sort of broken the rules and gotten gifts for people. They're small gifts. They're not big gifts. And I know some people are like, don't buy gifts for other adults. Like, they have their own money, blah, blah. It's not even that. It doesn't even need to be big. It's just, like, a thoughtful thing. I'm also a really big card person. If you're not going to give me a gift, give me a card. Because, like, I really love cards. And if you write how you're feeling or your emotions down in a card, that's really great. But I will say, when you are someone who's marrying, who you come from, like, a gift family, and you marry into, like, a non-gift family, it is, the dynamics definitely change. They were like, Nick's brother was like, Paige, do not break the rules. You cannot break this is our tradition. We've stuck to this. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't. So they know that now I'm just going to continue to break the rules, because I just can't help myself.
I am, none of this is at all surprising. But also that's good. Like, that part of it is fun. I mean, My in-laws are the same way, and I still like to buy something, even though I know their responses will usually be mixed, and it's all good. Like, that's part of the experience. Yeah. Food also. Are we doing a pod next week, by the way?
Yes, we have to.
Like a Monday pod.
Do we want to do it after Christmas?
We could do
Thursday for Friday.
That would be fun. No, that's a good idea. Yes.
So we can pick the games.
Pick the games. It is fun. Again, back to this time of year. It's food, it's wine, it's family, it's all of those magical things. I am, after this, going to Costco, and
Godspeed.
Because I need to, on the topic of wine and gifts for people, it's like,
I love, Costco is a great selection
of
alcohol.
Wine is unbelievable. Their alcohol is great. I don't know. I'm going solo, no family, because, like,
no,
the whole situation is stressful.
I like to go to Costco by myself as well. My brother is the only other person that I like to bring to Costco, because he's large and can, like, lift things. But yeah, other than that, I don't. He's, like, efficient, but other than that, I'm like, I don't like to bring anyone else to Costco.
No, that's what we're doing.
But no, this is the perfect time for holiday things. I will say, when I get off the plane on Sunday to come home from Penn State, I have about 2 hours before I am, I have cookie decorating with my niece and nephew. So the holidays don't stop because you've got a job in sports. So there's that.
Well, that is funny. Like Friday night, my wife's going out with all of her friends. They're all the neighborhood friends. They go just get drunk. Let's be honest. There's really no holiday component to this. It's great. They're spending time with each other. So we are, grandma's coming over, right? My mom's coming over. It is cookie baking. It is wine. It is college football playoff Friday night.
Love
I don't have
it.
To write on Friday. Just want to make that clear.
You don't have to write.
I don't have to write.
Our friend David Kenyon will be at Notre Dame writing for us.
Woo! That article. I have a really funny story as a random shit. Many, many moons ago, I was working at BR. I was at a wedding in South Carolina. And when I first started, BR was just trying to get didn't have the breaking news desk. It was college football was this. I believe it was Everett Golson. If that name rings a bell, on Notre Dame, the quarterback was either leaving the program or something. And I'm at this wedding, and this isn't the start of the wedding. It's
into the wedding. Drinks
have
been had.
My coordination is gone. Things are going well. I'm still with it.
You're taking over the dance
floor. But I'm leaving this world. And I get a call. The editor was kind of a pain in the ass. He's like, I need you to write about this. And I said, well, I'm at a wedding. And he said, well, fine. But I need it by 8 a.m. the next day. So, and look, shit happens, right? I get it. Yeah. Like, this is the job. So I get home that night. I don't stop partying. And I write the draft. And I wake up the next day and I open up my computer at 7 a.m., hungover shit, to edit. And my first three words are the. Like, just in a row. There's three thes. One wasn't enough. The rest of the story, not bad.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that puppy wasn't submitted. The.
Yeah,
right?
the.
And I'm like, shit.
If you read any sports article that is online that is a reaction piece to anything, there's probably a 35% chance that the person that wrote that was not completely sober.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's true.
It is. I hate to say that, but having done this long enough, I would have never thought that.
Oh,
But having done it long enough, certainly not the ones on Bleacher Report. They are all 100% sober.
It was a long time ago. And I edited it. I want to be clear, but that was so fun. And yes, you're right. It's an art form to do this. So there will be none of that on Friday. It will be wine and cookie making and super interesting game. Honestly, maybe the most, one could argue, the most interesting game on Friday night. There's a lot of compelling games. We will have storylines to talk about. So we will record a pod next week at some point. Stay warm.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Yeah. Oh,
Happy Hanukkah.
God.
The start of Hanukkah is on Christmas, I think.
Yes. Be safe. Enjoy yourselves and family. And
watch the football.
Wait, I got to make sure we get a Hawaii Bowl bet in. Hold on. Hawaii Bowl is very important to me. We've got San Jose State -3.5 versus South
Nash
Florida.
Nash isn't playing.
I know. What the fuck? I'm just talking about how no one's opting out. And then it's like, God. But that line is not moving. I'm still taking San Jose State. I like that team.
Okay.
Lay in the 3.5.
I'll tell Nick you are supporting his alma mater.
Yeah. Go Trojans?
Spartans.
Fuck.
Close.
And with that, we'll talk to you next week.